Do you remember in school when they tried to teach you to recognize patterns, and then your job was to figure out what would be the next in the sequence? Right, so, for example, like this pattern right here. So there's 1, 4, 9. Can you guess what's next? It's 16. Right? How do you get to that? So 1 squared, 2 squared, 3 squared, 4 squared is 16. All right, a little too tough for you. I got it. All right, let's make it a little bit easier on you. So how about this? 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and 11. Yeah, you get it. All right, so it's the odd numbers. Now, if that one was too tough for you, well, then you can try this one right here. Now, can you figure out what penguin, snowflake, and glove is next? If you can't, here's the answer right there. Okay, now if that one was too tough for you, all right, then read the book of Exodus. Because in the book of Exodus, the people of Israel fall into a pattern that they follow relentlessly again and again and again. It goes like this. They have a need of some kind, and then they start complaining and whining to God about that need. And then God miraculously has the solution. And it just keeps going on and on. You would think that after a while, they would catch on that God was going to take care of their needs. But they never seem to catch on. And neither do we, do we? All right, let's jump back into the story of Exodus. Last week, they were going through the Red Sea. You remember, the Egyptians were in hot pursuit. They're backed up against the wall of the water. God separates the water in this miraculous way, this incredible force of power that he shows. They go through on dry ground. Here come the Egyptians following them. The water comes in, washing all of their enemies away. Now we're 1 month later. There's 30 days. Just 1 month later into the desert. And you would have thought that none of that ever happened. It never even crosses their mind because now they have a new need. And their need is water. They need water. Right? That's a legit need. They need water. So let's check in 17, verse 1. It says they camped at Rephidim. We have absolutely no idea where Rephidim is, by the way. We think it's somewhere around Mount Sinai. Anyways, but there was no water for the people to drink. That's a legit need. You need water to live. We who live in the desert know how important water is, right? You just have to have. If you don't drink enough water, you get tired, you get fatigued, your muscles hurt, right? Even get slows down your mind a little bit. We've all been there. In fact, I was there last Monday. Last Monday, you recall, it was a beautiful day. Monday's my day off. I said, you know what? I'm going to get some yard work done. So I'm out in the front of the house. I'm doing all kinds of yard work. All of a sudden, I don't feel so good. I'm feeling, I shouldn't be this tired. I went, duh, I hadn't drank any water. I slammed 2 bottles of water. I was right as rain. I mean, water is that important, and that's my point. The need of the Israelites is real, and it's legit. And it's not a need that they were used to. Remember, they lived by the Nile. They had an abundance of water. They never even thought about it, right? They had plenty of water for washing, for cooking, for drinking. Never thought about not having water. Now they're in the desert. And they've stopped at a place, and there is no water, and they're thirsty. A legitimate need. Just like your needs. They're legitimate. You have legitimate needs in your life. And I would say it goes beyond just clothing, food, and shelter. God has created us as human beings. We have physical needs, emotional needs, and mental needs. And that's how he created us. Those needs are legitimate. Just as much as the Israelites needed water, you all have needs, and I have needs as well. So that's not the issue. The issue is, how do you handle your needs? What do you do with that need in your life? Well, for the Israelites, they complained. So you have the need, and now it comes to the complaint, right? So let's check back in with them. Now we're down verse 3. It says, the people grumbled against Moses and said, why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? Have you noticed that Israel is given to overstatement? They're given to overstatement and to sarcasm. It is frightening how much in common I have with the Israelites. I'm just saying, right? right? What'd you do? Bring us out here so we die of thirst, right? So the issue is not that they need water. The issue is not that they call out to God. God tells us to call out to him. He says, pray to me. Tell me what your needs are. Didn't Jesus say, ask, seek, knock? Didn't Jesus say, ask anything in my name and my Father will give it to you? So it's not the issue that they're calling out to God, but how they're calling out to God. That they're calling out to God with this whole complaint, right? What'd you do, bring us out here to die, right? And what they're essentially saying is, maybe we should have stayed in Egypt. Right? Maybe we should have stayed in Egypt. They've entered into the world of what if. And maybe. Oftentimes, what we don't have and what might have been seems better than what we do have. So what we don't have and what might have been, the what-if scenarios, that always seems better to us. So the Israelites, well, you know, it might have been better if we'd have just stayed. And wasn't it better when we were by the Nile? And yeah, we had to put up the Israelites, but what if we'd have just stayed? What if we'd have tried a different tactic, right? So they get into the world of what if. What actually is revealed is their beef is with Moses, but their beef also is with God. That's the real issue. So Moses said in verse 2, he says, why do you quarrel with me and why do you test the Lord? So they may be grumbling to Moses, but they're really grumbling to God. And the question they're asking, is God really with us? You see, on top of their physical need, they have a spiritual need, and it's a serious spiritual need. Because you would have thought, after all the miracles that they saw in Egypt, which wasn't that long ago, you would have thought just 30 days earlier, with this show of power and force and walking through the Red Sea, that say, if God can do that, then we're going to be fine. But instead, they forget all about that. And they fall into, we'd have been better if we'd have stayed in Egypt. It reveals a spiritual need. They're really wondering, is God still here? How do you handle your needs? The real ones, the legit ones. How do you handle those? You know that we all fall into the complaint department. So what's your favorite complaint? Right? God, if you're so good, why do I hurt so bad? God, if you're really there, why haven't you answered me? You told me to pray to you, and I've been praying for months, and nothing's happening here, God. My favorite one? How long? I want to know how long, right? Come on, God, I'm on a schedule here. When will this be done? You got a date for me, right? How long, God? How long do you want me to endure this? How long do you want me to suffer this? When is it going to end, right? My only solace in that is that I've got good company. I've got King David in my camp. Look at Psalm 13. King David says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? Looks like he and I also were into overstatements there. Will you forget me forever, God? Right? He says, how long, God? That's his complaint. Unfortunately, what happens, though, is that we look and we say, what we don't have and what might have been, that's probably better than what we have. It's really what we're doing. Well, if I only had done this, then it probably would have been better. If I didn't try that, then it would have been okay. And we fall into this what if thing, and we get into this complaint. And the problem is the complaint can lead to regrettable actions. If we linger in the complaint department too long, it can work on us so much that we do things that we regret. On more than one occasion, the Israelites are going to kill Moses, right? Moses goes to God, he says, I think they're going to stone me. This isn't the only occasion. They want to haul him to the edge of the camp, pummel him with rocks until he's dead. Now, how much sense does that make? kill their leader because there's no water there. But that's what happens when you get caught up in the what-ifs and maybe we should have complaint department. We lead to regrettable actions. How about the woman at the well? Jesus comes in there and she's his Samaritan woman at the well. She was so desperate for love that she shared her bed with six men. That's how deep her need was. And playing the what-if scenario, and maybe this time it'll be better because God doesn't seem to be answering. All of us have got regrettable acts because of our complaining to God. The good news is the solution, because God always provides. God provided for the Israelites. They needed water. God gave them water. And it said it came through like a rushing stream, and it had to for all those people and all those livestock, because we never hear of it again. We don't hear about it. It was in short supply. Nope, they got all the water that they need. He saw to their physical need. But even more important, he saw to their spiritual need. Did you notice the detailed instructions to Moses? Moses, I want you to get a couple elders. Get people that the other folks respect. I want them to witness this. Then I want you to go through the camp, right? Call attention to yourself, and I'm going to show you the rock, and I'm going to bring forth water from the least likeliest spot possible. I'm going to bring water out of a rock. What's God doing? In his infinite patience, he's coming back to the people saying, yes, I'm with you. I never left you. And yes, I will take care of you. He met not only their physical need, but their spiritual need as well. And my friends, God provides for you. He certainly provides for our physical needs. He's quite cognizant of them. In Matthew's gospel, it records for us where Jesus says, why do you worry about what you're going to eat? Why do you worry about your outfits? Why do you worry about your houses? He says, we know all that. In fact, he concludes it this way. He says, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. He's fully aware of all the things that you need. So the physical needs are there, but as important, maybe more important, are our spiritual needs. Our spiritual needs. Let's go back to the woman at the well. If you go back to the woman of the well, what is it that the woman of the well needs, right? Now, before you answer that question, for whatever reason, the story, when I asked that question, reminded me of the old Sunday school joke. You've probably heard it, but just out of courtesy, laugh anyways, okay? Sunday school teacher gets up, really wants to engage the kids, right? So she says, children, I'm going to describe something. And as soon as you know what it is, I want you to raise your hand and tell the class what it is, okay? And they all shake their head. She goes, okay, it's soft and white. It has long, floppy ears. It hops around. Its nose twitches. It has a little cotton ball tail. Finally, Johnny in the back raises his hand and goes, sounds like a rabbit, but the answer is probably Jesus. Now listen to the story of the woman at the well. There's a woman, and she goes up to the well. She takes the bucket, and she lowers it in the well. What do you think it is that the woman needs? And then she pulls the bucket out of the well. Well, it sounds like she needs water, but the answer is probably Jesus. And you would be right, because that is the answer. That's what she needed. She may have needed a little bit of water to cook or clean, but what she really needed was the living water that only Jesus could give to her. That's what she really needed. She needed to know that her sins were forgiven, and she needed her hurts healed by the living water that Jesus would offer to her. Ultimately, what the Israelites needed, what she needed, and what you need and what I need is Jesus. He really is the answer. And just like the Israelites knew that God was with them because he brought water out of the rock, you know that God is with you because the waters of your baptism. Because in baptism, you're linked to Jesus. You're linked to his life, his death, and his resurrection. So his new life is your new life. He meets your deepest need, not just your physical need, your spiritual needs. Friends, the sad thing is this side of heaven, Israelites' pattern more than likely is going to be our pattern. We don't want it to be. We'll try and fight against it, but you're going to find yourself that you're going to have a need in your life. It's legit. It's not being met. You're going to start complaining to God. That might lead to some regrettable actions, but God is going to come in with the solution. And God is going to take care of you. Not only your physical needs, but more importantly, your spiritual needs. That's the living water that Jesus has for you. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for seeing to all of our needs, especially sending your son Jesus. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming and living among us, then dying for us, then sharing with us your victory. Holy Spirit, dwell in our hearts that we could remain true to you, the one true God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our service continues.